Lisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. I am your host, Coach Lalisa J. Williams. I hope you're having a great, wonderful, and fantastic day. Well, if you're in the New Jersey region right here where we are doing the show from our virtual studio, you would be under anywhere from 5 to probably 25 feet of snow. We got so much snow on yesterday evening. It started last night around 8 o'clock, and, well, it was snowing probably long after I drifted off to sleep, sometime around midnight. Snow, 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 and more snow. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to those of you, if you're in the sunny, sunny, wonderful states around the country and around the world. And for those of you, no matter what your weather conditions are, I hope that you are having a wonderful, wonderful day already. Well, if not, not to worry, not to worry. We are here to motivate you. We are here to inspire you, to give you some new ideas, something maybe that you didn't think about, something that you didn't know. Wow, you might go, I never thought about that. So that's what we're here to do. We want to inspire you and move you to do great, big things. And like I was saying the other day, just listening to the State of the Union address from our President Barack Obama, he talked about winning. He talked about thinking big. And you know, those are some of the things we've been talking about right here on the show. So I felt that we are in sync with a much bigger purpose. And so great, big, and wonderful things will happen when you, and only when you, change your thinking. But as long as you continue to think the same, well, you will pretty much have the same thing. And that's fine. If you're comfortable and happy with what you already have, well, there's no need to think differently. But I know some of you want more than what you have, or something different. Well, as the saying goes, if you want something you've never had before, you have to do something you've never done before. So for some of you, that is going to mean turning it around, going in a different direction. Well, good morning and welcome. I tell you, I don't know what it's like in your part of the woods, but in our neck of the woods here, we're probably going to be in for the next couple of days. I don't know, it was snowing so hard last night. I thought for sure we'd be shut in for a few days going into this last weekend of January. Now, if Mr. Walker was here, he would say, this is my almost last opportunity to say to you, Happy New Year, one more time. Well, we're still in January. February is coming in just a few short days. We have some exciting shows coming up for you starting in February. I don't want to tell you about it just yet because it's just that exciting. I want to keep you on the edge of your seat waiting. We have something coming to the Coach Talisa Show. I'll let you in on a little secret. It's going to be a series. It will be a series. And it's going to be hot, hot, hot. That much I can tell you. So you want to stay tuned. You want to be here for February. It is going to be a super, super, super dynamic. And also, you know, all week long, we've had wonderful topics here for you today, in the morning on the Coach Talisa Show. And guess what? We're not done yet. So while I wait for my very, very special guest to tune in today, I will just go on and tell you just a little bit about Mr. John E. Harmon. Now, I know he was scheduled to be on a train ride going to the Washington, D.C. area, but those plans could have been preempted because I'm telling you, there is that much snow. I don't even know if the trains can get down the track. It is looking pretty scary. I mean, last night, really, we definitely got a good 13 inches of snow fall last night after 8 o'clock p.m. And so 1 minute, it was dry ground, and the next minute, the snow was coming down. But nonetheless, this person, I tell you, he has worked hard in doing a lot of things in and around the state of New Jersey. Well, John Harmon is his name, and he has lived his entire life in Trenton, New Jersey. Now, Trenton is the capital for the state of New Jersey, and so that is where a lot of our government officials hold their offices and do their bidding. Our Senate and our assembly, state assembly people, the state of New Jersey. And so it's a wonderful place to go and to really get a good local perspective on the government. The first of his family to attend college, John was groomed to uniquely sensitive to the plight of the neighborhoods of the youth, and he learned firsthand what it's like to struggle through adversity and to prevail over misfortune. John was an excellent student of the Trenton public school system, and after graduating Trenton Central High School, he went on to earn an associate's degree in business from Mercer County College. And that's a wonderful institution. It's a county college, but you would never know it. It's that large. It reminds you of a four-year school or university. After receiving that bachelor's degree in business after he left the county college, he went on to receive a bachelor's in business management from Fairleigh Dickinson University, my alma mater, in Rutherford, in New Jersey. They no longer have that campus, but he went there. Wow. He was recruited by the Bowery Savings Bank that was in New York City. There, the young John Harmon was assigned to the real estate division, and he managed real estate mortgage originations and the acquisition of loans that is valued as high as $50 million. So, you know, he's been around a lot of successful businesses. He's been around a lot of successful business transactions and around some that were probably not so successful. Well, he continued to shine as this trailblazer of sorts, and later he established Chemical Bank's first ever affordable housing loan program. So he has a lot of history in the housing market, the banking market, and throughout his years in banking, it included a more recent role as the vice president and director of business development for the United Bank of Philadelphia. And John has worked tirelessly pushing for initiatives to promote equal opportunity and small business and community development. How awesome is that? Then in 1997, John undertook the ambitious endeavor of partnering with an association of minority and women-owned businesses and began advocating for unconditional opportunities for disenfranchised workers, families, and communities. So for 10 years, he served as the CEO of this organization, which formally became the Metropolitan Trenton African American Chamber of Commerce, until establishing and becoming chairman of the African American Chamber of Commerce in New Jersey, the first statewide African American business organization of its kind. Fittingly, John recently completed a Ford Foundation Fellowship on regionalism and sustainability, examining case studies of other major American cities. Wow. So he's full of information. He is very well educated and has experienced the plight of a lot of people that would definitely be a listener of the Coach Lalisa Show. John's life of committed service to community has been fueled by his vision of a vibrant and marketable Trenton, sustained by the systematic investment in people. Now, you know we love to hear that because we believe in self-investment. Such an aim, he feels, should be driven not by the usual political insider and their gamesmanship that favors a few, but by basic rules of fairness and inclusion and sound aggressive. That sounds aggressive. And business decisions and urgency. So, I tell you, I can't wait to get him on the line. John Harmon, that's who I was just reading his bio to you. Welcome, if you just tuned into the show. Good morning, Miss Patricia. Yes. Good morning, good morning. Wonderful, wonderful. And also, good evening to Mr. Paul Carazzi. Can't say good morning to him because it's about 8 o'clock at night over there. Okay. Paul is over there in Tokyo. I know yesterday I spoke with Paul through Facebook, and he said it was so clear from where he was. He could look out of his window, and it was so very clear in Tokyo. And I want to be able to definitely, he said it was so clear that he could see right down to Mount Fuji from his window. Wow. Mount Fuji. That is awesome and amazing. And we look forward to hanging out in Japan soon. How many of you want to go to Japan with me? Well, I hope you're ready. Well, I tell you, it is an incredible, incredible morning. Now, let me just give you a few announcements, make a few announcements about some of the wonderful activities that are coming up that we're going to be involved in. And if you have any announcements of any events that you are going to be involved in, please hit your number one key, and we will be more than glad to announce them right here on the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we have our big, big, big event coming up, and that's going to be on March the 12th. March the 12th, we have what will be known as the first Northeast International Christian Writer and Author and Publisher Convention right here in the wonderful state of New Jersey, the city of Newark, March 12th, we have, let me tell you some of the people who are going to be on the panel. We have an awesome panel already of people who will be speaking. We have, some of you met Dr. Lee Jones. He is the CEO and publisher for the Inspire magazine. He will be here. Also, you have, he will be coming in, flying in for this event. I think he has another event in the area as well, but we look forward to him being here. And by the way, if you get a chance to check out his website, inspiremag.org, and we, you know, look forward to getting a subscription. We encourage you to get a subscription to his magazine. The magazine is a quarterly magazine at this point, and I can't wait for it to go monthly. That will be something that I will look forward to reading. But he's going to do our keynote address. Some of you know he has taken on the title of King of Inspiration. King of Inspiration. And he is the publisher and CEO of Inspire magazine. You can go to his website and find out more information about him. Also, we have film director Joshua Coates. He's coming as well. We also have authors Deborah Brown Davis, Elaine Haskins, Rebecca Simmons, Pastor Johnny Caldwell, Linda Wiggins Edwards. We have Mr. Howard Scott. We have Versi L. Walker. And that's just some of the authors. We have other authors as well coming. We've invited people from the media. We're inviting people who are PR specialists. So we'll have people that can help you write your press releases for your books. We have individuals coming that are marketing pros. They'll be able to help you get your books marketed and sold. I tell you, this is a convention you don't want to miss. The networking is going to be awesome. You can register online. I have a website where you can go to the website, LilisaJWilliams.com. The flyer will be there. You can get the website to purchase your ticket, the registration for all of this information, the networking, the workshops, only $30. We also have vendor tables for those authors who have books or you have a business or a service that you work with authors and writers. Please, please, please contact me, 908-432-1853. We're going to have workshops there to help you with the writing process, your marketing plans and tips. If you want to be able to launch your book, you want editing help, graphic art design, media exposure, copywriting, ISBN numbers, networking, and someone is going to win a publishing contract and more. We're going to have more giveaways, more gifts. I'm telling you, this is going to be an event that you don't want to miss. If you've ever thought about writing a book, if you just love reading books, if you want to meet the authors up close and personal, you want to make your way to New Jersey on March the 12th. It is a Saturday. You want to make your way there. I'll be there hosting the event, but definitely busy making sure everything goes smoothly. So if you just tuned in, welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. I think I'll go back over here and see what. Okay, welcome to our chat room. If it's your first time tuning in, Mr. Annan calls for Justin. Annan calls for justice. Well, we're calling for justice too. And yes, I'm going. Okay, Pat says she's going to Japan with me. Okay, it's cold. Yes, Paul said it's cold here too, but there's no snow. And of course, they have, mountains have it, of course. Good. We can't wait to see it up close and personal. Any of you who want to go, just let me know. Now, the following week in March, for those of you brave souls who want to trailblaze down to the Atlanta area, there's going to be a women's empowerment retreat going on in Atlanta. March 18th and 19th. So I would love for you to join me in that trip. So please contact me right away so that we can make preparations for transportation down to Atlanta, Georgia. That is going to be another event where I will be doing a workshop, but there will be empowerment speakers, and I'm telling you, these women will empower you. They have a lot going on, and there is a lot that's going to be going on. So if you ever want to go to Atlanta, Georgia, we know our good friend Patricia just left Atlanta, but she may want to go back by March. It is called the Women's Empowerment, and it is hosted by the Global Empowerment Group. And these are several women coming together, and there's a busload of them coming from the Cincinnati, Ohio. They already had to change the hotel because that many people had an interest in coming to this event. So you don't want to miss it. There's going to be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Their topic is living a life of balance. So health and wellness transformation summit. So you want to be there. Miss Olivia, she is the main coordinator of the event, but there's about 8 women working together. This is Olivia Urline. There's about 8 women working together that's going to be a part of that event. So that's going to be another event for March. For February, I have asked that some of you come out. If you have young women, send them on February the 4th. Send them over to Greater Providence Missionary Baptist Church in Newark. I will be speaking there to the young women. So they're having a young women's service. So we hope you can come out and support that event. The tickets for that event, I believe, are $15. So there's a $15 admissions fee. So a lot of things are going on. A lot of things are going to be happening. Many of you know that February is celebrated in the country and maybe other parts of the world, I'm not sure, for Black History Month. And so stay tuned all month long to events that you can take part in that will enrich your life, expand your mind, and help you to grow your personal and business development. We want to also welcome our guests in the chat room. Good morning, and welcome. Well, this morning, I'm waiting for our caller to call in. This is a morning where we wanted to talk about business all week this morning, small business, how to get started in a small business, how to grow your small business, why is it important to be in business. And so I thought it would be great to have Mr. John Harmon on, but so far we haven't heard from him. Now, I tried to contact him. I know he was scheduled to be on a train going to the Washington, D.C. area for a big conference there. And with the weather, if you could see the weather that we're having, just about anything could have happened because the weather is really that bad. So he could be snowed in, or there could be some technical difficulties where he is. And so you know how we do here on the show. You know how I do anyway. I don't panic. For those of you who know me, if you do know me, I'm not a panicker. I could be, but I don't for some reason. But I think it has something to do with about 30 years ago. I used to hear someone say all the time, they would say to me, the main thing to do is not to panic. And they would say that all the time. And so when, you know, you get to these situations where you could panic, and I think what they were trying to teach me is that, and I learned this too from swimming, a lot of people drown because they panic. And when you panic, you can't think properly. When you panic, you lose sight of the goal. When you panic, you actually begin to work against yourself. And so if it's for a person who is in a pool of water, whether it be a swimming pool, a lake, or whatever, when they panic, you're not able to get the breath that you need and keep your air flowing properly, so you end up drowning and sinking. And so I looked at that as it relates to, you know, to everyday life. You could be in a situation, again, if you panic, you're going to block your clear thinking. You're not going to be able to really launch ahead and move forward and advance. So I learned from that, you know, not to panic. And I just thought I would, you know, share that with some of you, because some of you on here, some of you who are listening today, you probably know me a little bit, and maybe you've kind of wondered about that, you know. So that's where it comes from. A lot of this stuff I do, I didn't make up, and I learned it along the way in life, just like all of us have. That's why they say success leaves clues. So I learned that not to panic. Well, for one, when things are happening, again, if you're right in the midst of turmoil, if you're right in the midst of a traumatic situation, you need a level head to think your way out of it. So panicking will throw you off key. Panicking will, you know, rattle you, will make you unstable, and therefore making your thinking unstable. So you don't panic. You just think, okay, what do we do next? And then I learned also along the way elsewhere that you always got to have a plan A, B, or C, or D, or F, or whatever. So you got to have, another plan of what to do. So here's what I'll do now. I'll tell you about my trip to Berklee College on yesterday. That was very interesting. For some of you who are in the North New Jersey area, maybe if you've watched it on TV, you know that we've had severe and weather storm watch in effect for probably the past day and a half. So yesterday as well, many companies were on a delayed opening. Some schools were delayed opening. Some schools actually closed because we did get a couple of inches of snow in the morning. It was snowing. But I went on and made my way down to Berklee College. There were a few students there. And I'm so glad that I did go, because you never, ever know who you're going to meet at that place where you have to go. You just never know. And actually, I went there and I met a young man that eventually I will have him come on the show and just share his story. He has such a story of triumph. It's utterly amazing. I mean, when I looked at him, it was just amazing. So he was on his way to the financial aid office, and I was in the room, you know, waiting for students to show up. And the financial aid office was right across the hall from where we were having this session. And so I was standing there, and they had a poster of my seminar that was going to be at the college. So he was on his way to financial aid, and they hadn't called his number yet. So he was stopping, and he was reading the little piece, the little bio part there, where it said that here I was there to speak, college degrees, and had been homeless. And that caught his attention. And he says, oh, maybe after I see my financial aid officer, I'll stop over here. He didn't know about the event. Well, sure enough, he did see his financial aid officer, and he came back over, and we began to talk. Now, here's a young man, and I says, oh, so how's it going? What's your major? And he says, he told me what his major was, and I says, oh, hey, how's school going? He says, well, I really wanted to tell you how come I wanted to come to the seminar, because I really identified with that homeless piece. He said, I was homeless. And I says, oh, really? You know, he really looked very neat, very clean cut. I really was, very unsuspecting. And I says, oh, you were? He says, yeah. I says, what happened? He says, well, it started from when I was, when I was born, basically. I said, oh, really? He says, yeah, when I was born, I was adopted. No, I wasn't adopted, but he said when he was born, he had to go live in a couple of foster care homes. So, of course, immediately I thought of you-know-who. He says, well, I lived in this foster home for a few years. Then I lived in another foster home for a few years. Then I lived in another foster home for a few years. And then I went to live in a group home for about 8 years. And he said, I lived there for a while. That didn't work out. I got out of that group home and lived in another group home for about 2 years. And he said, and after that, once I turned 18, they terminated me from the system. Now, I hear that now they don't terminate you until you're 21 here in the state of New Jersey. And I learned that from him. But he said when he was coming through the system, it was 18. So at 18, he had done what's called aging out. He aged out of the child care system, the DIFAS system, and he was homeless. He had nowhere to live. He said he lived at Penn Station, homeless. And he said that one day he decided to go to see. I believe he did graduate high school. No, he didn't. He dropped out of high school. And he went back and got his GED. And then he decided to go on to college. And I said, well, how are things going for you now? And he opened up his jacket to show me a shirt he had on where he has a job working at one of those inside recreation entertainment things for children. And he said that's where he works now. And he, you know, has a small place where he's staying. And I thought, wow, what a story. And so I asked him how things were going for him at school. And he said, you know, things were going pretty good. But he said he was struggling with motivation. He was struggling with finding the motivation to keep going. He wants to keep going, he said, but he just doesn't feel motivated. He says, I really feel like I don't have, you know, I don't really know why I get up every day. I don't know why I come to school every day, but I do come. So I thought that this story was just very fascinating. And so we see sometimes young people who won't finish school and don't like school, and they have sometimes the best of everything. They have a warm bed. They have nice parents. They have a wonderful home. Here's a young man that went from house to house to house, eventually living in a group home, and then living out in the streets, living homeless. And so today he's 22 years old, and I thought, what a story. So I was just so blessed that I got a chance to meet him and talk to him. And the session that I did with them was called Get on Your A Game. And so I kind of talked about how you have an A game in life and you want to work your A game as it relates to your school, your education, developing yourself and your careers. And so I was just so blessed to be there. And so the session went very well. And then yet another young man that was in the session also had some problems in his life. And so, you know, they got a lot out of the session. I tell you, you never know who you're going to meet. You never know what your next step is going to bring. Now, this young man who I'm talking about, he says that now he has a desire to help other young people who are in that same situation and that he is in. People, young people who are homeless, young people who are in the foster care system that don't see what their purpose in life is. And, you know, I never thought of it like that, but, you know, they really, you know, he really is going to be able to help somebody make a difference in their life when he, you know, finishes school. He's, like I said, he's working on his degree. He's working on a degree in business. He's working on a degree in criminal justice. And so I asked him what his long-term goal was with that degree. And he said that his long-term goal is he wants to be a lawyer, and then he wants to be in politics. He wants to be a congressperson or an assembly person. And I says, oh, maybe you'll run one day for president of the United States. And he said, no, I would never do that. I says, well, don't never say never. You never know where your life may take you. And I think he kind of got that because he could see that he had no idea his life would take him down to Berklee College working on a degree. And so I just think that young people like that, really, we should really support them and help them. Him and the other young man who also had, you know, gone through some traumatic situations as a young person, they are on these college campuses, and they do need our support. They do need our help. So I was just so honored and blessed to be there to share, you know, part of my story with them, to let them see that you can do it, you can make it. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is a rainbow after the storm. And so we talked about some of those kind of situations. We talked about being motivated, and I told them about tags, and they wanted to know what tags was. They wanted me to actually break it down, and tags is my acronym for talents, abilities, gifts, and skills. And they, you know, they wanted it broken down. They didn't want to just hear, okay, you got to utilize your tags. They wanted to know, well, how can I tell what my talents are? How do I know what my abilities are? And how do I know what's a gift and what's a skill? So we had some very good discussion behind that. I also went over the top 10 reasons that people fail to be successful in life. In other words, they fail to be on their A game. And I think I went over those before with you, talking about those. And that was something that, you know, I think that we spent a good amount of time talking about that. I was there with them for at least an hour and a half. And then there were some other questions and some other people there with different backgrounds. And it looks like I'm going to be, as soon as the show is over, I'm going to be jumping up and jumping into my uniform and going out to shovel snow. There is quite a bit of it out there, and at least a good 15 inches that we got. So I won't be extending the show today. I will be getting up and getting out. Longer and not get out there. And so it was really, really, really bad. We did really get a lot of snow here on the East Coast. So we can only pray the strength of those who have to go shovel. This would be a great time for the young people to go around with their shovels, and they could probably make a couple $100 today because it is that much snow out there. But yes, yeah, so I went over with the students, I went over these top 10 reasons that I call why a lot of times people fail in life, and I think they really were able to grasp a hold of that. So I will check back, haven't been in the chat room in a minute, to see kind of what. Okay, Coach, since you are your own business, could you give us the first 10 things or less to do when first opening up a business? Absolutely, Patricia, I could do that. I will do that for you. Very good, very good, good question. Yes, the first thing you want to do when opening a business, you, and by the way, if my guest does come to the show, when you come to the show, you would need to hit your number one key to let me know you're in the queue. And welcome to the show if you just tuned in. So the first things that you want to do, coming from the chat room, a question, to open before opening a business, you want to go and study some businesses. In other words, go and interview. This is what I would suggest. Go and interview, because everything looks easy from the outside. You know how things can be. It always looks better. And then once you get behind closed doors, it's like, wow, I had no idea. So the first thing you want to do is certainly don't quit your day job. But if you don't have a job, that's, you know, that's different. If you're unemployed, that's different. If you've been laid off and things like that. So the first thing you want to do is go interview some small business owners. Go interview. You can go to a local deli, a local restaurant. You can go to a local retail place. You can go to a law firm, other small consulting-type firms, and just kind of interview, just kind of, you know, sit there for a minute, watch people, see how people interact. Walk up to the person who's a business owner and let them know, I'm contemplating starting my own business, but before I do that, I wanted to kind of get some questions answered and just learn a little bit about it. You can also go to your local library, and you can get books. Just about every entrepreneur out there if not every, almost every entrepreneur has written a book on the life of an entrepreneur, a business owner. So you can go to the library, get a book, and read their stories from cover to cover. Hear their struggles, hear their frustrations, hear the hurdles that they had to overcome, the obstacles they had to go through, the ups and the downs. That's the best thing to do. Then also read a couple of autobiographies of various CEOs, like Jack Welch, like the woman who started the bear, you know, what are those little bears that make a bear, build a bear. Go and read their stories, how they got started. And then also talk to people that you may know that have started their own businesses. Because sometimes, sure, you may see them when they're happy and doing well, but you may not know what they're going through behind the scenes. So that's the first step that I would do. The second thing I would do before, now I know all this now. I didn't know all this when I started my business back in 2002, but I've learned what to do. The other thing that you want to do is you want to have a good credit history. So get your credit in order. If it's not in order, get it in order. Go sit down with a financial planner, a budget analyst, a finance expert, and say to them, I'm contemplating and starting a business in the next year or two. Give yourselves a good year, a year or two. How can I get my credit ready to start this business? And they will show you. They will walk you through the steps. So you do that. And so when you need loans, you'll be able to walk in the bank and you'll be able to get loans. Secondly, you want to then come up with a business plan. And you also want to save some money too. Because one thing about the banks, they want to see, okay, banks don't mind loaning you money. But that's what they're in business for. But here's the thing. They want you to come with some of your own money, especially when you're asking for money for your business. So if you're going to go to them and ask for $10,000, at least show them that you have possibly $5,000 to put up yourself. And then, or if you're going to ask for $30,000, say, try to have $10,000. Some people, I've known people who have had pristine credit, and so they've had three or four major credit cards, like the American Express type cards, and they've borrowed $10,000 from each one of those credit, they, you know, maxed their cards out. And they took that money and they used that money to start their business. I once read about a woman in North Carolina. She wanted to start a daycare center. She didn't have the money. So what did she do? She sold her house. She took the equity from her home and she purchased her own daycare center. She had a burning desire and vision for a very successful daycare center. She put her whole heart in it. She moved into an apartment, put her house on the market. She worked that business so well that in 3 years, her business paid her back like three times what she had invested in the business. So much so that she was able, the house that she put on the market, that some people would say, I wouldn't dare part with my house. Are you crazy? The house that she took a risk, put on the market, never sold. She was able to go and buy the house back with cash. She paid cash for the house. It was a woman in North Carolina. This was going back about 6 years ago. I read about her story. And so there's different ways to get money to invest in your business. You may also have family members that you may be able to go to and borrow $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 to help start your business. So that's the first thing to do is to, first of all, get your credit in order, talk to other business owners. There are tests you can take. There are assessment tests you can take online for free, or you can contact me. I know how to get a hold of these assessments to see if you are entrepreneurial material. You know, sometimes we see people doing things and we, sometimes it's envy, sometimes it's not. Oh, I could do that. Oh, I wish I could do that, what have you. But be careful about thinking you can do things that others are doing, because it may not fit your personality, it may not fit your lifestyle, it may not fit your characteristics. So you can do a little assessment and answer some questions to see if you're cut out to be an entrepreneur. Because here's what we know about entrepreneurs. First of all, the business and everything that business does, success, failure, and in between, it's on you. There's no boss to go to. There's no senior management to go to. There's no team of people that are going to come and help you. You are it. You have to build the team. You have to be the one giving out the vision. So you want to make sure that you're able to handle all that as a business owner. So you can take a test to see if you are. Some of the characteristics that they say entrepreneurs must have are things like an entrepreneur must be self-directed. You must be able to take initiative, to take charge, to get things done. They say entrepreneurs must be self-nurturing. In other words, you can't be a wimp. You can't be a crybaby, because there are going to be a lot of little problems and a lot of little things that's going to come up. But you have to be able to nurture yourself, to build yourself back up. When some customer, irate customer, has come in and threatened to sue you, or some supplier is continually to raise their prices and you don't know what to do, or you could be in a situation where you have machinery that breaks down, or your supplies are running out, what have you. You could have an employee that's doing you in. There have been many people in business who went out of business because of employees, especially in the restaurant business. And so you have to have these qualities as an entrepreneur. You have to be self-nurturing. You have to be self-directed. You have to be able to motivate yourself. You have to be a person who keeps your health up. Remember on the job, it was okay if you got sick, you just call out. Well, when you're a business owner, you don't get to call out sick. You have to go, okay? So you really have to start taking care of your health and make sure that you're in tip-top shape. That may mean that you have to exercise, you have to eat right, you have to, cut down on habits that could be damaging to your health, like drink. You ever see those TV shows where you see a lot of people do the happy hour thing and they go out and do a lot of drinking? Well, you won't catch too many entrepreneurs or CEOs doing that. You see, they don't try. They try not to engage in behaviors that could wear down, if not tear down, their health. Because when you own a business, you need health. You need your health. You won't catch a whole lot of them, chain smokers. They may smoke a cigarette every now and again. They may smoke a cigar every now and again. But those won't be, entrepreneurs and CEOs are typically not your chain smokers. Because, again, they're not going to do things to wear or tear down their health. Now, does it happen? Yes. And those are typically the businesses that fail. Because if your health fails you, who's going to run your business? So those are just some of the, tips going to get you started, okay? And then another thing with your business is that you may have a great idea. Let's just say you've come up with a great recipe for spaghetti sauce and you want to go up against the ragus of the world. Fine, but start small. I knew a lady once. She was making these, peanuts, cashews, and they would be dipped and covered in certain things, whether it was cinnamon or spicy or whatever. And she had made some. She brought them to work. People fell in love with it, and she began to make them, right? I mean, she began to mass market to co-workers and to co-workers' friends and families. And she was doing it at home. Well, the orders got so big, she couldn't handle it, and she basically had a breakdown. So you have to be careful not to grow too fast. And a lot of times when we start in business, of course, we have that one customer for the whole month, and we're wishing and hoping that for more customers and more customers. But make sure that as you're asking for more customers, you have set your business structure up that you can handle that type of growth and expansion. Because, you may not be able to, especially if you're working alone. Now, that's take me, for instance. I'm pretty much working by myself. So while I would love to have people ordering thousands of books online on my website, but how in the world am I going to get those books to people? So that's why I try my best. I've sold a couple of books online, and by the way, I still have to mail them out. So it just takes a while if you have other things that you're doing. That's why I like to do a lot of my book signings on location. I like to do my book sales, I should say, on location. I'm there. I got the books there. You buy and you go and we're done. But I don't, because I don't have a team that can get over to the bookstores, get it mailed out. And I'm not with a publisher. When you're with a publisher, they will mail the book out for you, you see. So you have to consider all these different things when you start a business. You don't want to grow too fast, yet you want to grow. But don't grow before you build your infrastructure to handle the growth. You know, that's like in some cities. They say, oh, we want this kind of traffic for our city and that kind of. But can your city handle it? If that many people came to your city, where would they stay? Do you have enough hotels for everyone? So you can't just say, you know, you want to have growth, but you don't have the infrastructure for the growth. So make sure you're working on that. Some other steps to take when you started a business, making sure that you have a conjovial type personality. When you're in business, you can have these wishy, well, I call them wishy-washy personalities. You know, you're up one day and down the next, you're happy today and sad. You're, you know, very moody. You probably won't make certain businesses that would be good. Let's just say you like to dig ditches and dig wells. Well, that's great because you're in the ground and nobody's going to really have to be bothered with you. That's wonderful. You know, maybe you're an accountant sitting behind, a wall where nobody's going to really see you. They're going to drop their tax. You're only dealing with people for like the 15 minutes that they come in and drop off all their tax documents and their receipts. Fine. But if you're a typical type business owner, you're constantly networking with people, how are you going to get new business? If you don't, I don't understand these people who start businesses, but you don't like to network. Your business is going to take a long time to grow. So hopefully you like slow business, because it's going to take you a long time. There's no such thing of success in business and the lack of networking. The two do not go together. So you need to have kind of an outgoing, bubbly personality. And, oh, by the way, that's another quality of an entrepreneur, is they have to be high energy. You have to have a lot of energy. None of this, oh, I'm so tired, I got to go to bed. No, 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 that's just when you're doing business, is when everybody is asleep. You're up, you're on the internet, you're looking for new ways to get customers, you're looking for new ways to tap into the customers that you already have. Maybe you don't need to get new customers, but maybe you need to find another way to get the customers that you do have to purchase other products and services from your business. So you have to have a lot of energy. You have to be high energy. You don't have to be high strung. Don't get it confused. Don't get it twisted, as young people would say. Not high strung, high energy. But again, that's going to come from the exercise. That's going to come from doing the things that give you energy, keeping your power high, staying connected to your power source, reading your word on a daily basis, and staying energized. Also, being around other entrepreneurs who are successful and that can also give you their energy versus people who don't understand the entrepreneur's mind, don't understand why entrepreneurs do what they do. Another thing that you can do as an entrepreneur, you want to write that business plan. So now that you've done all that, now that you want to write that business plan, you've got to have that business plan, because the business plan is like a roadmap. It's telling you where you're going, why you're going there, how to get there, what to do when you get there, what to do if things don't go the way it should. And ultimately, that's also the tool that you'll use when you go into the banks and begin to ask for money. when you go to the banks and you start asking for money, you will want to have, you will definitely want to have that business plan. They don't want to even talk to you without your business plan. Because in their minds, if you're not serious enough to put it down on paper, then why should we give you all this money? And so the business plan doesn't have to be elaborate. No two business plans are the same. But all of them will have the same components. So all the business plans will have a description of your product or service. They will have a list of the target market. Who are you targeting and why? They will have a list of who's on your team, what their background is. All businessing plans will have a finance segment where you plan to get the money, how you plan to get the money. In your business plan, you will also have a segment in there where you will say how you're going to raise money. It may be through sales of your products or services. So you'll just state that in your business plan. And if you have any comments or questions about the business plan or business, I can take those right now. We have a few minutes left. Like I said, before I have to get out and start shoveling snow. But if you have any burning questions, please, I welcome them. You just hit your number one key. We actually have, believe it or not, a couple of minutes left to the show. There are a lot of people in business, so it's much easier today. It's much easier today than it ever was to start a business. I'm telling you, they have business classes. You can take a business class. Did that answer your question, Pat? You can also, there are so many, as a matter of fact, I've been talking with Tina, and we were just talking about this yesterday, that starting a training program for entrepreneurs, there's so many people today who just want to start a business, and then you want to grow your business once you start the business. Because most people who start a business, they start the business because they want to really be in business and they want the business to last. Oh, the other thing is to go and get connected with resources like the Small Business Administration. It's free. They do have some products that they sell, but for the most part, everything you do with the SBA is free. It is a federal government agency. It is not a private agency. It is a federal government agency, much like student loans and other agencies, welfare, Medicaid and Medicare. It is a federal government agency. What they do is free. And it is amazing how fast time goes. So hopefully those tips really helped you. I'm going to find out, you know, what happened with our guest, but that's all right because we know things happen. We're going to contact him and get him back on for another time. As I know, he really wanted to come on the show, and I see that someone has called me on my cell phone and left me a message. I'm not sure who it is. I will get back to you. This is all we have time for today. Remember, set some goals for yourself, for your business. Thank you for staying with us for the entire show. Like I said, we got some exciting stuff coming up. Don't forget the publishing conference convention coming up. Don't forget March 4th, for those of you who have your young women, to come to the Young Women's Conference that's going to be taking place in the city of Newark. Also, if you are into getting your books published and you haven't done that yet, myself and Adele, we have a seminar that we do online. It's a webinar. So wait for that. I'll get you the info so you can sign up for that class. If you haven't signed up yet, please do so. We're anxious to get you started. So go have a wonderful, wonderful Thursday, and we'll see you back here for another fantastic day on the Coach Lalisa Show. It's been real. It's been awesome.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget, to invite a friend. Share the knowledge, share the love, share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Felicia Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.